Hello, everybody. Welcome inside After Hours Sports. Before we start the show, I just want to let everybody know that this podcast was recorded on May 31st, about a week ago, and we just didn't have time to get this thing up. I've been in Henderson for a work conference, not Vegas, Henderson. Very, very different. And we just didn't have time to get the editing done and get it up. But here we are, a week late. Nonetheless, it is still one of the best episodes I've ever edited in my entire life. So without further ado, let's get rocking and rolling, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for the first time in a long time, it is After Hours Sports. My name is Brandon Rosenthal. Alongside me are my boys, Eric Garcia and Social Mike. Fellas, what's going on? Long time no talk.
Been a minute. What's going on?
Life,
bro. It's been an interesting journey since we started this podcast, hasn't it? There's a lot of shit going on in the sports world. The Lakers are still crap. That hasn't changed, unfortunately. But the NBA Finals is here. One team is in the finals that we can't stand for sure, and the other team, I mean, they're all right, but we're definitely rooting for them this series. So we have.
Absolutely.
The Boston Celtics versus the Golden State Warriors. And if you are a Laker fan, you cannot, and I'm going to repeat this, you cannot let Boston get 18. Like, that is mission impossible. You know, after, like, that would be the worst thing that could happen. It's like
chip. Well, that's the worst outcome that could happen.
Bubble chip, and then Boston gets 18. Like,
the playoffs?
All the talking heads are going to rip us to shreds. We're already in the news media as it is. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, thank you for finding us. But we're heavy homer Lakers, heavy homer Niners, and we're going to hit those topics today and a few other things as well. Champions League, boxing, maybe even get to Jock Peterson getting smacked. We'll see.
Maybe.
We have a lot of stuff to talk about. So, so first of all, number one, let's just get this out of the way. Fuck Boston.
Yep.
That's a question mark.
Boston.
You can go ahead and repeat. No, that's an exclamation point. We can't have them win, but they are there. They're actually a really, really good team. They have great players. And, you know, they're not a great team, but they have really good players. One is a superstar in Jason Tatum. And they're going up against the Warriors, who are back in the finals for the first time since KD left, and which is in 2019. And, right, you know, last year when they played the Lakers in the play-in, they were like, oh, you know, catch us next year, and here they are in the fucking finals. So I don't know how much you guys have watched. I've actually watched a lot of basketball this postseason. After watching the Lakers all season and watching that shit show of a team, and they're so bad, these playoffs have actually been fun to watch for me personally. So have you guys watched any games? Did you watch the conference finals?
I've been watching maybe not like all the games, but I've tried to watch as much as I can. There's been really good games, really good series, including the one that just got Boston to the final. Still fuck Boston, but that was a great series between them and Miami. Memphis Golden State was good as well. For what it was. And the Luka, the Dallas Dallas Golden State was also pretty interesting, but that I you know pretty early you were able to see that Luka needs some help, or he needs to learn an experience for him. You know, he got further in the playoffs this year, but definitely learning for that team. I was able to watch most of these games, but not all of them, as I said, but majority of them.
Yeah, Dallas is a flawed team, you know. Like, and that's what's even crazier is that like this is the year the Lakers easily could have had some sort of shot if we stayed healthy and we actually cared. But you know, because like Dallas made the conference finals, it's like the year that Portland made the conference finals. It's like, all right. Yeah. I guess, and you know, there isn't a great team, and as good as Golden State is, they weren't great. Mike, you had a great point. Like Dallas is definitely inexperienced and flawed, but Luka is a stud. they definitely missed Hardaway Jr. You know, that series. And Dallas doesn't have like a big, and you know,
Dallas wasn't going to win that series. Dallas
no, was not going to win. They that needed like a Herculean effort. That was like LeBron going against the stacked up Warriors. Oh, the stacked up Warriors.
That first team, the first year when I mean the first finals he made when he got swept.
It was Big Z. That's kind of what Daniel Marshall.
And because of the youth, you know what I mean? Just because of how young he was.
Yeah,
and Luka's young. Not only doesn't he have the help, he's also young. The way I looked at Golden State, though, they never to me. Remember, you know, all this stuff that you know that they haven't won in you know whatever since KD, but I don't think they ever were bad. Obviously, record-wise, they were. But, you know, they definitely were a team that it was just, okay, once these guys get healthy, they're still Golden State. I mean, they never lost Draymond, Clay, or Steph. I mean, as far as leaving the team, they were hurt. So the team sucked when they were hurt. You know what I mean? The more of them that were hurt, the more the team sucked. So I do think Golden State, to me, going into these playoffs, is a team who I trusted the most for that reason. I feel like they're just fully a veteran team. They've been there. They've done it. But sucks to, like you guys have been saying the same thing, sucks to admit that the Celtics are fucking good. This is a good fucking Celtics team. You know, we
unfortunately.
Brandon did say it earlier, same with Mike, like, fuck Boston. It's clear for all of us, it's fuck Boston. But what's funny is, you know, there's always new crops, right? New waves of fans, especially in a big team like the fucking Lakers. And, you know, there's always little groups, there's always cliques, and, you know, there's a specific LeBron Laker fan, right? The guys that we know, they're only here for a while. The moment LeBron's here, they're gone. So we already know that. It's like a temporary Laker fan. And that Laker fan is the Laker fan that's rooting for the Celtics over Golden State. Because what they care about is Steph versus LeBron. They don't care about the Lakers Celtics like we do. That's not even entering into the debate, their debate. They're worried about Steph getting anything over or getting anything close to LeBron. So they would literally rather have the Celtics fucking win it. And when you say what kind of fucking idiot ass Laker fan would think that way, again, I'm telling you specifically, LeBron Laker fan, 100% are rooting for the Celtics. And it's fucking disgusting.
It's disgusting. And, you know, like Tatum could wear, like, and I'm all for Tatum being a Kobe dude. Like, I'm all for that. You know, like, I'll take that content. I'll take it. The texting, you know, there's a reason he shared it because it was obviously a good moment and he had a great game. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Tatum texted Kobe, Kobe's phone number before the game and said, I got you. But, you know, it was a nice sentiment, to be honest. But that's where, like, the lines end, right? Like, if you're wearing Celtic colors, if you're wearing the green, you know, we can't be rooting for you, man. Like, you can't support Boston getting another championship.
There you go. Like, even if you want to, for whatever reason, look, there's betting chances. There's a bunch of things you can get away with up until this point. You could have wanted Boston to beat Miami for whatever weird reason you had. But there's no way in hell you want Boston to win the championship. That one is not – there's no excuse for that one as a Lakers fan. Again, you could say, I'm cool with them winning the East. I'm cool with this. I'm cool with that. You can't be cool with them winning it all. That's the whole point of this shit. It's just Lakers-Celtics. That's the only thing we give a fuck about. So it's a pretty easy decision to make. I mean, hate aside, it's going to be a good series. You know what I mean? This is a good series.
It will be a good series. I think, you know, they both match up well. You know, Curry is tough to guard. Marcus Smart's going to do a lot of, like, you know, he's going to guard him a lot. It's going to be a lot of Wiggins on Tatum or Brown, you know, and it's really going to be like how healthy is Robert Williams and how much damage can Draymond Green do, like if they play center. I mean, he's going to be one of the keys to the series, obviously. Like, I think that's one thing that stood out to me watching these playoffs is how, like, important he is to their success. You know, Draymond. Like, as great as Curry is, and he is great. Curry is great. Klay is coming back, and he still has these moments. Poole is fucking phenomenal. You know, like, it's unbelievable how they just find these dudes. But Draymond is, like, he's the dude. He's the quarterback. Like, he knows, like, and he's the game manager, like all those quarterbacks we talked about, like, you know, the dinkers and dunkers, like, but he's actually a good game manager. Like, he knows where everybody should be. It's like, hey, no, you should be in the corner. You need to be there. Like, He's running dribble handoffs. Like, it's, he is the cog of that Warriors offense that makes it go. And, you know, if they don't have any bigs aside for him, so they could run into trouble there potentially. But I'm looking forward to the series. Like, I'm just, you know, it's obviously the last series of basketball, so it's always like bittersweet. Even if the Lakers were dog shit, it's like, this is the last chance we get for basketball. So I'm always going to try and, you know, watch as much as I possibly can.
Yep. That's exactly true. I mean, you broke it down perfectly. Like, there's good matchups that we like to see. There's a good teams that, to me, it's a good also, all the storylines, right? The older team, the veteran team against the up-and-coming team. Obviously, for us, we hope this is not an up-and-coming team. We hope it's the Celtics team that had a run and then ends up getting split up for whatever reason. Because obviously, I don't want this team to be in contention, because the point that we keep making, it's fuck the Celtics. You don't want them to winning shit. I'm going to take Warriors, and I'll take them in six. You know, obviously I can see it going seven, but I got Warriors in six. That's my pick for this series.
What about you, Mike? You got a pick already?
Yeah, Warriors in five though.
I think six is the number, and I think it's Golden State. I wouldn't be surprised if this is seven games as well, because sometimes Golden State does like to take their foot off the gas pedal, you know, like, and like get blown out. Like, nah, whatever. Let's just, you know, we'll hit the golf course tomorrow. But if this series does favor Golden State, simply because like of all the days in between games, you know, like, not that Boston won't, you know, recover, but Golden State has the experience. And if you have the experience and the legs, like, that's
exactly
a little bit of
and
a leg
shooters.
Up. They got, you know, Boston has some shooters, but they're hot and cold. But they got the defense. They're
yeah.
This is the ultimate, like, you know, like the super. It's like a Super Bowl where, you know, best defense meets best offense, and better offense wins.
If you're the Celtics, you got to limit it to one guy, right? Like, look, let Steph, let Clay, let one, maybe even, you know, let, of course, Draymond probably preferably, let them, one of them go off. Just don't let two of them go off. Definitely don't let three of them go off. You know what I mean? Like, if Clay and Steph go off, you lost a game. But you can win a game where Clay goes off and then you're able to lock down Steph, or vice versa, right? But if they both go off, bro, you're losing. And that's just that's just the way that game goes. Clay is fucking dope as fuck, and I'm super happy for him. It's super good. I'm super glad to see this. This is one of those players that hasn't ever worn a Laker jersey, who I've always found it pretty easy to root for. Obviously, his dad being the reason, one of the reasons why it was easy to root for him. You know, his dad being a former Laker, but dude, he's just fucking dope. He's good as fuck, and he's resilient than a motherfucker. And when it's all said and done, no matter how many championships this core ends up winning, he was a huge part of it. He wasn't a guy that was there for the run. It sucks because you never want in a career, you're like, if he would have gotten hurt and they would have played without him, then they could have seen. Obviously, he never wished it on guys, but it happened in his career. So him being back, again, like you said, look how quickly you see them make that jump from struggling against a Laker team that really sucked, and when you look at it, all said and done. You know what I mean? And now they're in the fucking finals, and, you know, they're the favorite, at least in our eyes. You know,
I think in a lot of people's eyes, to be honest, like,
oh, no, yeah, me too.
They are the favorite. Still, I'm sure you can, if you look up on the gambling websites, they're the favorites. And I would imagine they're like minus 150, 180, maybe. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say so. Maybe even, no, I would say that's about right.
Because then, you know, like, if you're going into like the three minus threes, and it's like, okay, you're thinking like Mike thinks like, five, even a clean sweep,
this is a wrap, easy.
I sure hope so.
Not easy, but yeah, I just think it's going to be a little. Me personally, I think it's going to be a little bit too much. Like you said, like Eric was saying, you might be able to limit like one of them from going. I mean, you want to limit both of them from going off, but if like Eric said, if it's either Steph or Clay who goes off, but then what I wanted to add to what he was saying was. He mentioned Draymond, but to me, I think they got to worry about Jordan Poole, because he can come on, you know what I mean? He can give you 25, 30 easy, fast too.
Yeah, I mean, and Boston's going to run out of guards, like to contain the Golden State guards. Like, I think that's what,
right.
Especially if Derek White has like a bad game, It's going to be
what's his name hasn't been the healthiest either. Smart.
No, he hasn't. You know, he's, and that's why I think this could go seven, because he's going to use those days between games to recover, and he needs that recovery for sure. We're going to we're going to see a Tatum game. Like, I expect a Tatum 40-pointer game. I would love to see, because one thing we've been missing in the Curry resume is like a fucking awesome NBA Finals, like where he's like 35 a game, making 7 threes. Like, you know, he's had those series in the playoffs, but he doesn't have the Finals MVP yet. And I think he's going to get it this year. It would have to be there's no way anybody else gets it. I think if you are a betting person, I think the voters are going to reward Curry.
But the only person that has a chance to back up Mike is Klay.
Oh yeah, because he gets hot, of
the injury.
Yeah.
No, but the injury part of it. You got to understand. This is emotional. He'd be beast. Like, I'm talking about, you know, 3 30-point games and a 40-point game. I mean, some crazy shit like that. You know what I mean? Hand that man that trophy. But I do agree with Brandon. I don't know what the numbers are going to be like for the series, but I see at least two games where Steph Curry goes stupid out there. Like, just, you know what I mean? Just a flat-out clinic.
So, I was going to ask you guys this. Even right now on this run, do you think he's been the best? I mean, yeah, I guess. But do you really think he's been better than Klay so far in this playoff run?
Well, he's the whole team to me. Like, I think the swag, everything about it, like, that's the thing. That's, to me, that's where the veteran part of it, of the whole team comes. And I think if it isn't Draymond, because like Brandon said, if he's not the quarterback, he's at least the heart or whatever you want to call it.
The voice in the locker room, the what do you call it, enforcer, right? Like,
all of that, exactly.
He's the Kevin Hart in Scary Movie 3, where he's like the hype man.
But Steph is like the pace. He's like, you know what I mean? To the fans, he's the motherfucker, right?
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that 100%.
No, go ahead.
With that 100%. No, my bad. I was just going to say, I agree with that 100%. Like, to the fans, I think right now the fans are like, now that Steph's back, and obviously they feel like they're going to win this final, and they're going to be like, there's no one, like Brendan said, there's no way like anybody else can win the finals MVP. But, that's what I said. I don't know. He's had really great games in this run, but we already saw game 6 Klay. We saw game 5 Klay where he just said, fuck it.
But it's like Steph should have won one already, right? That's kind of what the Brandon's point is. Like,
whether it's fair or not,
he should have won one. And the writers, you know, they get to choose, right? They get to say, yeah, that's cool. We're going to get one now because you need to get one. Like, that's just the way it works, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that's why he should win. But I mean, you know, you still got to perform, right?
Yeah. He's got to make sure his team wins to win it pretty much, not?
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I'm not saying like, I mean, if he wins it, I kind of hope he wins it. But like you said, there's some games where if it goes, let's say 6 and Klay has like 3 better games, I think I think he would win it.
It would have to take a couple of crazy games for Klay to win. But yeah, I like the odds. I like Curry to win finals MVP. Without them,
What do you guys say? I think you guys know how I feel, but what do you guys think about? Does this say anything about KD? Because, you know, the haters, there's like a trifecta, right? Like, the hater, it's just like the KD guys, the Steph guys, and the LeBron guys, and they all like kind of, you know, go around spending time hating on each other.
That's true.
Off and on, but do you think this makes Durant look what bad or to me you? Because, again, you know how I feel. To me, it's like, hell no. I think I always said this team is good. I still am saying it now that this team is good. And what I said when he came in was, out of that good-ass team, he's going to be the best player because he's that dope. And he was. So that's, to me, always was going to be the sealer. Is like, he never joined that team and just joined. He joined that team and took over and became the motherfucker.
It just proves our point that they didn't need him in the first place. He joined. They kicked the league's ass, and then he left. And it's like,
it was a win-win if it wasn't for the pettiness, right? Exactly. It should have been just a win-win. Like, get your dub, go get paid, try to do your own thing.
Tip of the cap, boom, get out. Like, and go. But to be honest, like, we can't blame KD because that fool played his fucking ass off for and then you had to deal with Kyrie, and then James Harden's bullshit. Like,
it's see, the like... James, I honestly think the Kyrie. I honestly feel KD was fine with gambling with Kyrie because Kyrie's dope, and in case it didn't work out, I think he knew that could have been like maybe they're gonna choose me over him, and he could get moved. But I think the Harden stuff was just horrible. You know what I mean? I think the Harden shit was just shit. Like, that was bad. I mean, Harden sucked.
Yeah, he was bad.
It was. I was gonna say it was his second go around with Harden. Like, he already knew what Harden's about.
He played with this chunky fucker again, dog. Like, yeah. He goes, "You bringing me this?"
He might have looked at it like, "There's a reason they shipped you out of OKC." Granted, they maybe couldn't have paid you at the time, but there's a reason you were the one.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I remember where I was when that trade happened. Like, I was at Blue Dog Tavern, right there on just south of Ventura on Sepulveda.
Yeah. That's the spot, by the way.
Oh, I fucking love that place. Great beers and great burgers. I've been there in a while.
The food is bomb.
It's good shit. Highly recommended. Yeah, but
for sure,
I remember seeing it the ticker, and I was like, "Oh my god!" I was shocked. But yeah, like, clearly, they're like, "Well, there's something going on." Either like they didn't buy in or whatever it is. So I don't know. I think let's take a hard pivot to Lakerland, and then let's just wait about like 10 minutes or so. And then we'll take a break. Let's talk about the news. We have two news topics, but let's spend a few minutes on each. Let's start with the hire. Rumors, this is not official. They have not been a press release. All been, you know, NBA reporters or NBA Twitter, whatever, that the Lakers have hired Darvin Ham as the head coach for a four-year deal. And I will say that I like this hire. And, you know, I also liked Vogel, but it is what it is. Like, so what do you guys think?
I like the hire.
Yeah, I like the hire. I mean, the one thing that I like the most about it is what is my biggest shit that I hate is when fucking teams want to hire their next coach, they look for the motherfucker that just got fired. So I'm glad that's not what we did here. You know, like you said, I was a Vogel guy, so that, you know, he's gone. So I'm glad they didn't just give it to another guy that is, you know, just another guy that's just a, like, I didn't want Doc. You know what I mean?
I'm so glad it's not Doc.
That was like the win, right? The fact that Doc wasn't even like, that was like exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It isn't Doc, then take, dude, like, I'll take
whatever,
it.
I'd rather have taken Doc Brown, like anybody but Doc Rivers.
Shit, I'd rather take fucking his son, dog. Right now, I'd rather take his son.
Austin, yeah. But
yeah, I'll take Austin over the Doc right now, bro. Like, real talk. I just, I didn't want that to happen. And look, Doc, you know, it doesn't take much for me to go all in, right? I'm just going to have to hear the press conference, going to have to hear him say defense a couple of times, defense rebounding or some shit like that, and I'm just going to be all in, right? So I'm always going to be optimistic. I do think we spend the right amount of resources and we do what we got to do. We could get right back on track. I like that Genie's at least saying the right things. This is disgusting. This is embarrassing. But then at the same time, you know, if you're bringing back Phil and some of the people that have been there for a while already, I don't know if that's necessarily the right way to do it. But hey, dude, if you got Phil Jackson to ask for advice, I don't think I could fault you that much for it either. But I do think that, okay, I'm going to be optimistic. Start, you know, the first step is, Who's gonna be the coach? They've seemed to make that decision already. Now there's a bunch of other shit to figure out, right? Westbrook, any of the other things. Those other things, I guess we're gonna get there when we get there. But for now, you know, this is a great way to start the offseason, right?
I think it's not bad. It could be worse.
I was gonna ask, besides the Ham, was there anybody else that you guys liked that was on the list?
I wouldn't have minded Mark Jackson, to be honest. Like, not that he's like the guy, but I know at this point, like, we just needed to try something different and, you know, cater to the team that we have. And since we're in an interesting situation, but I'm cool with the Ham hire.
I guess if I'm going to go with a guy that's already had a job or, whatever, You know, Snyder was the guy that I kind of liked for a bit. Maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like Stott. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But I don't know. He definitely is more on the side of what I hate. You know what I mean? Like, even though I like him, I think he's one of those guys that, shit, even Vogel, who I like, right? If I was a fan from another team, even though I just said that I like Vogel, I don't know if I want to jump on Vogel like that either. Because, again, he, whether it's fair to him or not, he's also a guy that just got shit canned. You know what I mean? And you know, that always looks nasty when you're a fan base, you know, to, you know, speaking from experience, us, we're just, you know, in that position, right? There's certain guys that, you know, that wouldn't have sat nice to us. Guys that already just been fired, guys that you're like, come on, dude, this guy already showed that he sucked. And then now you're going to give him the Laker job. If he wasn't good for that other city job, wherever job that was, I mean, the Laker job's, you know, a better gig, right? Like, that's, I mean, I can't get more homer than that, but just, that's just the way I look at it, right? And I think Cam is dope. I mean, if you, especially if you're a guy that believes LeBron's going to be the guy anyways, you know, maybe an inexperienced coach is, you know, isn't that bad.
And to be honest, and I'm go ahead, Mike, my bad.
I just wanted to add another person I didn't want, and I don't know if I might be on my own with this.
No, opinion. I like the hate list. Go right ahead.
The hate list is always longer, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. I didn't want Juwan Howard.
Okay.
I didn't.
Interesting. Like I didn't,
and I'm not gonna lie. I was like, "What the fuck? Were you weren't interested, dog? Why the hell were we even interested?
Yeah.
In you?
Why were you even getting that call? Like,
your well, first you know, it's because Juwan was his boy on Miami or with LeBron. But I think like I wouldn't mind him being like an assistant. I think that would be a great like. You're talking about building a good staff, yeah. But he's clearly. He has a good gig there in Michigan. He can literally punch people and like not get fired. So like, fuck it. Like, right. Why leave the gig you got?
I just look at it like we can only look bad there because he's gonna, like you said, if we're not off, especially if we're not offering the fucking head coaching position, there's no way he's leaving.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, Michigan. And it's like the only thing that could come out of it is, you know, the headline isn't gonna read, they mutually parted ways. It's basically, Juwan Howard told the Lakers to go fucking sit on it, like fucking happy days and shit. You know what I mean? Like,
and Jeannie Buss is gonna have to come out and say, like, yeah, we, you know, he didn't fit the Laker mold.
We never offered him anything, actually.
Yeah, you know,
yeah, you weren't even fit, homie. What the fuck? You weren't even fit. Yeah. The job. But I mean, fuck it. I mean, I think that just also like kind of puts a little magnifying glass to the. It's, you know, I know we don't like to admit it, or maybe we're in denial, but it's kind of a little circus in recent years of what's going on with the Lakers, Brad. And let's just be honest with you. We don't want to believe, because if it's true, then we know the rebuild or the fix or the solution or whatever is even further away than we hope, right? But if you know, if we believe what we believe, and if we're the Lakers of old, throw a shitload of money at the problem and it goes away, dog. You know, we've seen it happen before. You know, we can buy our way out of this. So yeah, that's why I'm not.
History repeats itself?
Right. That's what I said. I don't know. I don't know about Westbrook yet, because let's see what happens, right? Maybe Jeannie says, you know what? I wasn't bullshitting when I said I'm fed up. Let's lose. Let's eat. Let's do whatever we got to do with that money. Let's figure this shit out. But let's get better. Yeah. And look, if Westbrook, I'll tell you this. I wanted him gone. I'm cool with him being gone. I understand all those reasons. But I also am not a guy that's going to be fucking, if he's there, I'm not going to be too shocked like most people are. People are really going to lose their fucking mind because he's still there next season, but he fucking might be. That's just a fact.
So, and that was what I was going to ask you guys. We have 2 minutes before we take a break. Westbrook and THT. If you can bet your money on who's going to be a Laker at the start of the season, who is it?
Westbrook. Only because he's harder to move. Only because he's harder to move. That's the only reason.
I agree. The salary. You know what I mean? The salary is a lot higher.
Okay, so here, and you can give me a one-word answer here on this next one. Do you think that the Lakers can get a quote-unquote all-star player for THT?
No. Not for THT.
He's not an all-star himself.
Would you trade an all-star for THT or a borderline player, depending on...
No.
If you're trying to dump the salary, then I guess that's a move you might consider.
If I'm a team that's 3 years away, maybe. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like but, that. Who is that player? Like, I mean, who is that?
Like, I don't see it. I think fucking, we have to find a way to move fucking Westbrook. That's just the way I see it.
I agree. And I think that, yeah, I agree. It's gonna.
I think Brendan's right. I think where Brendan is kind of even, you know, whatever. Like, we didn't give him an answer, and I think that proved the point that I think we're gonna end up losing on the THT front, no matter what, because we're just gonna end up trading them for lesser of a value. We're not gonna be able to win that trade. Like Brendan says, are we gonna be able to fleece a team for an all-star? I don't see it. That would be fucking. That would get, you know, Pelinka some fucking brownie points right there, being able to flip that fool for an all-star. And look, it's not that I think THT is fucking it's bad. I just think, you know how fools ball and they're fucking free agent.
Yeah.
The last he didn't. Like, this is the worst time for him. Like, a team that's trying to rebuild, a team that has an overpaid player like Westbrook, and then you have the kind of season that you did, like fucking THT did, then you're like, it sucks, but that's kind of the position you're in. You know what I mean?
All right. Yeah, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back, and we'll get you some more after-hour sports. It's After Hours, baby. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This podcast is sponsored by us. Sponsored by us. How about that?
Yes, sir.
It's sponsored by nobody else that gives us any money. So let's move over to the NFL. We spent some time at the NBA, talked about the finals, talked about the Lakers and how depressing they are. And let's move over to the NFL, where if you're a gambler, you probably are depressed all the time if you watch the NFL. So week one, I just want to kind of pull up these games. Obviously, as Niner fans, we're very excited about the Niners and Bears. That's going to be September 11th. So the first game is, we're not going to go game by game, but obviously the initial game on Thursday night, Bills and Rams, that's a really good game.
Yeah.
Anything else that stands out in week one? You know, usually week one has a couple of Monday night football games, but this time there's only one Monday night football game. So anything that stands out in particular?
I mean, obviously, like you already nailed it at the park, the one game that obviously is Niner heavy. But the third, let me pull it up right now, because I only had, you know, me, Niners.
The Bills, that Bills round. I only had the Niners. It's probably the one. The other one for me, I guess, would be
Eagles Lions. Yeah, obviously.
Nah.
Raiders and Chargers should be exciting, especially because of the 125 slate doesn't have that many great games, to be honest. If we're looking, I'm looking at the schedule now, like Packers and Vikings is always like a fucking snooze to me, at least. Like, I don't know.
I guess the Rams, the Broncos Seahawks being.
Yeah, that's the.
They're going to open the season. Yeah, being that they're opening the season with.
That could easily be just a Seattle, like, getting thrashed and like Russell Wilson whipping it out party.
I don't expect the Seahawks to win that game, but you know, you still got to.
I mean,
still got to show up.
And Buccaneers Cowboys is obviously that's the game that the NFL wants people to watch. It's on NBC. That's, you know, the NFL's transition to Sunday night being the premier game.
Yeah, I get you there for sure. I also like Baltimore Jets. I do think, you know how the Jets. It's not hard for them to become the media darling, so people are digging the Jets a lot. But I could easily see Baltimore destroying the fucking Jets week one. You know what I mean?
Patriots and Dolphins should be interesting as well.
Yeah, that's a good game.
I'm ready to see what opener. What Coach McDaniels got. I mean, you know, meaning not Coach McDaniels. What's his name? The Dolphins' new head coach. You know, has in store the rivalry with the Pats. You know, that's a good one too.
The whole Brian Flores thing, just like floating overhead, like both teams. So it should be interesting. The games I don't want to watch: Jaguars, Commanders, yeah, Giants at Titans. Bleh. God, talk about awful. And I think that's it. Chiefs, Cardinals, like I'll peek at. You know, like if I had the game, I'm like, I'll turn it to it just to see, like, all right, what's Mahomes doing? I'm curious to see how the Chiefs look. I'm more of looking at the final score of that game, and I can look at it afterwards. But if it's 125, there's only four games on. So,
you got Chiefs in that game?
I don't know.
I do.
We still got some time. We still got some time. You know, like
I do. I
want to see how the preseason looks and all that stuff. But yeah, with D-Hop still missing time, right, for the Cardinals?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, six games.
Yeah, that's the suspension. That's right. Not even the injury. He got suspended for the PEDs, performance enhancing, right? Yeah.
For riding dirty.
So, real quick,
millionaire.
real quick, because I think when we heard the news about D-Hop, I think I might we were talk, briefly talking about it, but when you look at it now, it makes sense as to why the Cardinals traded for Hollywood Brown.
Oh yeah, they need that backup. I mean, obviously
they already had kind of like, yeah, they need. I think they already obviously already had the kind of they probably knew what was going to happen, so they just said fuck it. I think they overpaid for Hollywood Brown, but whatever. That's not my.
Well, I think Kingsbury's all in action right now. Like he's got he can't suck again, and you're trying to keep Kyler, and you know you're trying to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
As far as for the Niners, we didn't really get that hooked up like that because they don't play the Cardinals within the first 6 weeks, so that doesn't affect. Hey, the Jaguars in Washington, both teams could suck, right? That can be a pretty interesting game. That might just be like a shit show that's kind of interesting to watch. Colts, Texans, because of fucking Watson, right? Oh yeah, there you go. But Deshaun Watson and Houston. I know that's gonna might be one of those ugly storylines that, you know, obviously he hopefully gets cleared or not or whatever the case. Who knows what's gonna happen there? Till it's, you know, but it's gonna seem like it's gonna be kind of ugly storyline throughout the whole season. But you know, don't put it past Deshaun Watson and just completely ball. My bad. I keep looking at Houston with the Colts. I was talking about
Cleveland, Carolina.
Well, because I saw Washington Jaguars Washington Jaguars and we're talking about the shitty game. And then I was like, Colts, that's a good one because of Deshaun Watson. This fool's been gone. So, you know what I mean? It's just going to be the Panthers are going to get hooked up with Deshaun Watson. Who knows what that one? McCaffrey? That's weird.
Oh, yeah, he's back.
Sam Darnold in the cut.
Is he? Yeah, this is a poo-poo game, like, all written all over.
What do you call it? I mean, who knows? Maybe Carolina trades for Jimmy G.
I mean, and I do.
Baker.
I'm interested. I mean, look at us talking about every single game. I am interested in the Steelers and Bengals because I do want to see how Burrow plays, especially, you know, Super Bowl. How is he going to come out? What's he going to look like? Steelers, you know, they're looking to make a name for themselves. No more Big Ben.
Rookie ass fool.
Yeah, I mean, like it's gonna, you know, now we're looking at like the last time the Steelers had a rookie quarterback, it was fucking Big Ben, you know, like, but he was really starting, and like, and I'm not talking because obviously when they had rookies, it was because Big Ben was hurt or suspended for, and he wasn't suspended, just hurt. no, that was a while ago.
He was suspended.
Oh, a long time ago. But I do want to talk about. I'm excited. So I think we got some. There are some good games. I think obviously our favorite is the Niners and Bears, but Saints Falcons. The Colts. I forgot about the Colts. Colts and Texans.
Matt Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. The thing about the Falcons got me thinking about like, oh yeah, shit, Matt Ryan's on the fucking Colts. They have a really good opportunity to make some noise. Like if Matt Ryan's going to win a title, this is a great opportunity for him with this team. But
that could be a weird move, right? One of those like
because
if it doesn't work, they could also really suck, right? It's like
it can be Peyton Manning or Philip Rivers, like
Carson Wentz.
Where did he go?
He's in Washington, but I'm saying that's what happened.
Oh, the Commanders, that's right.
What's Carson weirder Wentz? That he's with the Washington or that Washington is the Commanders, right? All of that is weird right there.
Well, it's
combination of both.
It's definitely both, and the fact that, and we talked about this on a podcast like months ago, but he looks so weird in that weird uniform with his red hair and his red skin. Like it's, Jesus Christ. And coincidentally,
the divisional games just started off. My bad, just to catch up. But we got Saints, Falcons,
Colts, Texans, Patriots, Dolphins. Colts.
Yeah, there's very few. Oh, we got
Raiders, Chargers,
Packers, and the Packers.
Packers, Vikings, Steelers, Bengals. Yeah, those are all division games.
Packers, Vikings is a pretty interesting one, you know, because of the Aaron Rodgers situation.
Yeah, I mean, Rodgers, you know, he's focused on playing golf. But
so did we officially talk about every single game now?
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty much.
There we go.
I mean, We didn't say Cowboys Dallas, right? Just throw it in.
No, I did. I did say that. There,
okay. That's the prime
time game. I think we didn't break it down. The only game that we left off was Eagles Lions.
Yeah, exactly. I did mention it, but briefly.
You did say it in the beginning, but then
it was a joke. It was a joke because that game was a fucking joke to watch.
And it just kept getting bypassed every time.
No, it should 100% always get bypassed. Like right now on NFL.com, I clicked on how to watch and I just got Rickrolled. Like the NFL is not going to let me watch this game. Like so. But let's talk about the Niners before we get into some other things. They've been in the news, at least the NFL circuit recently, because of a couple different reasons. You know, everybody's always talking about Trey Lance and this and that and what kind of quarterback he's going to be. We have no idea. So we'll save that topic for another day. But I do want to talk about this drama that happened because that's always more exciting than actually shit on the field because they haven't been anything on the field recently. A reporter and a player got into it, and people are obviously taking more of the player's side. But Eric, you want to get into the story a little bit more?
Yeah. I mean, it's like you said, it was in the start of OTA. Basically, I don't want to call him a reporter because, well, you know, obviously I'm showing my bias because I'm not a fan. But this dude that basically covers the Niners, that's what I'll call him. He basically has been antagonizing, shitting on Kinlaw for a while now. And then, you know,
and this is Javon Kinlaw, right? I think he's Javon a defensive Kinlaw. Lineman, right?
Yeah. Defensive lineman for the Niners, missed pretty much all of that season due to injury. And, you know, basically this guy's been going at him, telling him he's got 80-year-old knees, he's fucked up, the Niners should cut him, he's a bust, this and that. So, you know, start of OTAs, Kinlaw decided to just go ahead and go straight up to him and just say, "What's up, fool?" Like, you know what I mean? You've been talking hella shit. What's up? And basically called him and said he had a little dick. He told him all this shit. He told him everything that you could tell a guy to just and it's when it's a large ass dude that's telling it to, you know, basically just, you know, made the dude very
you eat
small,
it you take you
know?
It yeah
well I, you know, whatever, but he did, right? Yeah, like you said, maybe you're there's always the tough guys listening. They're like, no, I would have definitely punched Kinlaw right in the face and broken my wrist. That's what I would have done. You know what I mean? But
yeah, that's true. It's
good point. So this guy goes at him. And like you said, people chose sides. I think it was easy for me to make my decision because even before all the Niner players started coming out, that's exactly it's like, this isn't a one guy thing. Like, I know it's easy right now to just, anytime someone gets criticized, all you got to say is, what? People trying to cancel me? What's going on with today? Everybody's a bit. It's like, no, fool, you are just a fucking loser. And because this isn't about being a critic, like that's the whole thing. Like it became a, like, you know, Kinlaw can't take criticism. You know what I mean? This guy gets to make it. It's not about that. It's when you go out of your way to antagonize somebody. Hey, that person's going to act a certain way whenever, you know, whenever you see them. So did he handle it right? No, not necessarily because of, you know, obviously, you know, if you're a professional athlete, there's always different, you know, different ways you got to handle yourself. So obviously on that side of it, no, it's not the right thing to do. But to me, that was secondary to what he felt like he had to do at that moment. Part of the people were like, oh, what a dumbass. All he did was make Grant Cohn a lot more popular. And of course, that's the case when you do something like this, right? But the point that people are failing to always understand is like, there's no way this fool was reasoning that, oh, I'm going to let him disrespect me because if I don't, he's just going to get more popular with my reaction. He doesn't give a fuck about how much popular he gets, what he gets out of the situation. He wants to make sure he lets Grant know that he should get fucked up if he keeps talking that way. That's pretty much all he needed to do at that moment. He didn't care if that made him a millionaire or whatever the fuck was going to happen. So, that's definitely my point on it. I think the Niners got to really watch out with the situation. It isn't about somebody hating on the team, so they won't look bad on that aspect. Where if someone was out to criticize Kyle or Lynch, it might be harder to provoke like some passes because then it comes like you're a soft team. You just don't want the one, you know, pressing the team. But when it's like specific players that it seems like people are you know, picking on, you know, what the fuck? Provoke those passes. Dude. What the fuck's wrong with you? There's way more qualified people that can cover the team. There's way, you know, you don't have to deal with this bullshit. When you have enough of your players, which happened, coming out and basically saying, yeah, this guy's being a clown, this fool's fucking dog shit. I think it's an easy call for you to make as a fucking team. I really do.
Seems so. I mean, to be honest, it seems like it's a pretty easy call. Mike, any thoughts on this thing?
No. They're pretty much covered, you know, covered the same as I same as I feel about this about the topic. I don't got nothing much to add.
Perfect. I mean, yeah, it's you want your news to be on the field right now. Obviously, there's not much to talk about, but yeah, right. Simple solution is simple. Peace out. Credentials revoked. Get the fuck out of here.
But the Trey Lance part of it and all of this stuff that, like you said, there's no news, but why this stuff is huge news and why a lot of this is news, especially the Trey Lance part of it, because you see it's like, you see Colin Kaepernick or whatever the fuck, all this stuff that's coming out.
Ripping him, with man.
But it's because, you know, that guy, you know, like he's a fucking, that's what his job is, right? And he's a guy, you know, he could be whatever he is. But one thing for a fact that he is he's a guy that's pretty much trying to talk about whatever the fuck the biggest, trendiest topic is, right? So, look, you saw in how many different fucking road games that the Niners were like heavy fan, you know, fan, you know, the fans were deep. So the media knows you talk Niners, you're going to get a lot of engagement. You're talking shit about the starting quarterback, you're going to get even more engagement. Shit, if you're hyping them up, you're going to get engagement. So it's a win-win. So that's why at this point, like you said, when shit hits the fan, you're going to hear these little stories break out. You're going to see the experts say, you know what I mean? Like all these things when really he hasn't fucking played. You know what I mean? Let the guy fucking play. Which is obviously hopefully he's made for about, you know, for the right stuff. And I hope, you know, look, there's that huge chip on his shoulder, shows up, takes ass and kicks name, right? Very simple. There's a lot of hate and there's a lot of fuel from it. His answers, like you said, the dope part about the little stuff we got is OTAs when he was asked by the reporters, how do you feel about having to prove these people wrong? And he's like, I really mean, obviously, probably because of the whole Kinlaw situation, he was like, I really mean this with no disrespect, but I really, you know, really give a shit what you guys think. Like, I don't care if you guys like my game. Yeah, I really need the team to be behind me. And I need these guys to get my back. I need to get better. But as far as trying to prove you guys wrong, shit doesn't even enter my mind. Like, you know what I mean? And it's the great attitude to have for a young ass fucking guy.
I just wanted to add, he said, like, that's not my job to care what you guys, you know, what you guys think or say.
I mean, he shouldn't, dude. There's too many things. The fucking Kyle Shanahan offense is difficult as shit. Being an NFL quarterback is difficult as shit. Trying to replace a quarterback that no matter how much hate he can get or not, he still got the team to the NFC Championship is hard. There's so many different things that he has to deal with than what reporter A or reporter B has to say, dude. And honestly, if I was a reporter, and the reporter, I don't, you know, obviously I didn't see the reaction of the face. I just heard the questions, but if I was me, I wouldn't have taken it like he was offending me either, which he did say, obviously, I mean, no offense, but I would have liked the answer, even if I was the one asking it, right? Like, that's a dope answer. That's what the fuck you want to hear, right? I mean, that's what especially if I'm thinking I'm asking a tough question. To see how you act, and if your answer is, I really don't give a fuck about your opinion, I'm just trying to win ball games. I mean, even if that's directed to me, I would say fucking great. That's fucking dope. That's a great answer. I mean, that's a great attitude.
It is, and hopefully he just puts it all together. Like, that's what I'm looking forward to. I know we have a lot to talk about, so I'm just going to move on to the next thing because I definitely don't want to forget it. Mike, I'm going to toss it over to you, bro. There was a big update in the Champions League, so why don't you go ahead and fill everybody in if they don't know, or you can give me your opinions, and if they don't give a shit, who cares? Play like Trey Lance.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So the Champions League final was on Saturday, a game between Real Madrid and, excuse me, Liverpool. Real Madrid won the game 1-0.
A lot of Real Madrid fans all over the place.
I mean, shit, that's their 14th Champions League trophy. Damn. So, you know.
Who's the star player there? Is it Messi?
Well, no. In Real, it was
Benzema. Who's the star?
Benzema. Kareem, yeah. Kareem came through this year for them.
Like Kareem Abdul?
Nah. Kareem always comes through, right? But Benzema was the captain.
Okay, that's what's up.
Got the dub. I don't know. Did you watch the game, Eric?
Yeah, well, I was following the game. I didn't get to watch it. It was okay. Especially once I got the alert that it was 0-0 at the half. I was this is. Well, Brandon, just to kind of relate it to Brandon, right? Mike, back me up on this.
Mm-hmm.
This was an easy choice. Well, at least, well, for Mike, it was tough, actually. So I'm going to come at it from my angle because Mike's a Barcelona fan, which is the direct rival to Real Madrid. And for me, just to go on, Brandon, how we were talking about as a Laker fan, it's easy. You like the Lakers and you hate the Celtics. That's kind of how you learn basketball, right? When you're a fan of the Lakers. And as a Manchester United fan, it was like, fuck Liverpool. Liverpool. That was the only thing that mattered to me. It was like, if Liverpool, because, so, you know how Mike brought up the Champions League. Well, Liverpool has a shitload of Champions Leagues. They already are leading Manchester United in Champions League. So, nah.
And I think LeBron was a little piece of Liverpool, right?
He does, but I mean, fuck that, you know? And he was at the game, too. So, he did travel to Paris to watch his team get hooked up. But it was fun, right? So, what do you say, Mike? You saw the whole game, or you saw the whole?
I watched the game. It was a good game, and to be honest, Liverpool was the better played. I mean, they played a better. Obviously, it sounds weird, but they lost. But they were, you know, they were the ones creating. They had more opportunities throughout the game.
Well, the shots on target. We were looking at it with my brother. Look, Real Madrid only had two shots on target, and they scored one.
Yeah. And they scored one of the two.
They were just clutch. Yeah. It was great. So how did you feel about it as far as the Barcelona fan side of you? Where it's just, because you also are a Manchester United supporter, so it's kind of weird,
yeah,
right?
I mean,
it's
like, it was. Because obviously,
you lost basically no matter what the fuck happened.
No
there
matter
was an
what, yeah, because whoever won, it was going to be, I wasn't going to be happy with the result, but. I didn't really care too much. I mean, Liverpool. As I said, Liverpool played a good game. Not good enough to win, but I think as far as the tournament goes, Real definitely deserved the win. They came back against some. They played the better, in my opinion, the better teams to get there.
Yeah,
and they earned it. Straight up.
But I also think, especially towards the end, they big time the way, right? Where as far as Brandon, this team has all the prestige in the world, right? So in these kind of tournaments, teams, it's almost like you got to double the amount of effort. You know how it works. You know, even in the NBA, right? Finals, right? It's just like when you're going up against the elite, you know that just your regular 100% is not enough. You have to bring in more than that, and they have to fault. They have to fault a couple times, and you got to capitalize on all of them, right? And again, if you want to ask, look, especially to my ass that doesn't fucking, I'm a casual soccer fan at best. I listen to me. I always, if I like something where I kind of get interested, I follow all the podcasts that I find, and I just start getting into it, right? So anybody that followed this whole season, you know, for the whole pretty much major teams in Europe. We're saying that Liverpool's clearly the better team, and I can't really argue that much. Look, even though in the game, like Mike said, they played the better game. I mean, the match, they came through as far as the performance and the effort they brought. But fuck, yeah. I think Real Madrid, especially with the way it ended, it just seemed fucking fitting. Where this team
they were
is
destined
just
to win it.
We show up, we take the dub. That's what we do, and we did it, and it was pretty fucking. Honestly, pretty crazy to see. Sucks the only for one fucking thing. Liverpool. It was fucking so dope to see. Oh, hold on, my bad. Because I know Brandon likes the shit fuckery, and I don't know if Mike, you saw this whole story, but I tell you, I follow all this shit. So from what I gather, Everton fans are known for being top notch, just fucking haters, and just they will make a celebration and will find an opportunity to roast you and do a lot of stuff, right? So this team, Brandon, went out of their way. And created a fake company, right? That was a coach company, those big ass buses that carry people. So a bunch of Liverpool fans paid money to go from Liverpool to Paris, where the fucking Champions League final was. But that company didn't fucking exist. So hours at this bar where they were supposed to get picked up, there was people tweeting out saying, "Hey, what the fuck? This company was gonna pick us up here. They haven't shown up yet." And, as time went by, of course, eventually it got exposed. that they just got fucking they got punked put together. And like put together. Damn. You know, the money went to bullshit. And honestly, I'm pretty sure like it wasn't necessarily a theft thing where they took their money. I'm pretty sure they returned that shit. You know what I mean? But it was more of a like, you don't get to go watch your team in the fucking Champions League. Which, you know, as a hardcore fan, you know, that hurts more. You're probably like, take my money, motherfucker. I don't give a shit about that.
Yeah.
I just think, yeah. I'm not trying to miss this game.
I wouldn't want my money back at that point. I'd be like, no, I want you to fucking die. Like, this one, like, you ruined my life.
But, dude, talk about being epic trolls, dog. That's some level that is of, like, craziness that
impressive.
It is an impressive amount of hating.
There was another troll job that went really quick. I want to add a troll job by the Real fans. Because, you know, there was rumors of Mbappe going to Real in the after the season, and yep. Mbappe ended up staying with PSG. So there was a picture that was going around of a Real fan holding a PSG jersey with Mbappe and the number 0, and on the bottom yes. It says like Champions. So, you know, he was supposed to be the big, you know, the big signing for them, or the, you know, that was going to be the bigger. That was going to be the biggest news for sure.
Why I like that kind of trolling is because that's king troll level, in my opinion, not because of like how dope of a troll job it was. It's because how the pettiness level where you're literally en route to win it again. So you're about to win it. So like, you know what I mean? Usually you're trolling when you're hating and you're on the outside looking in. But yeah, these guys are literally about to, they're winning it and they're trolling. You know what I mean?
That was pretty dope. Was pretty dope.
Like, don't you wish you were part of this? But it was crazy. It was fucking crazy. You know. But it's kind of like us as Laker fans. I can't wait till the next season starts. That's kind of how it is right now with this. As a Manchester United fan, saying fuck it, that happened. Let's just go ahead and restart. Let's hope next season's a whole lot different. And we want to be part of these kind of matches because that shit was epic. Honestly, no matter how what the game was, only one goal. You know, winning that kind of shit. That's like
legendary. Came through. Oh, man, that was a performance.
Legendary shit, man. So
it was a player of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think the most I've ever gotten into soccer was probably like, I think it was like a World Cup in like 2010 or something like that. Like, man, that was a lot of fun. Had something like it was like that was a lot of fun.
Besides this one, you're about to get into this one. November it starts, and Brandon, the best part about it is England is in our group. England is far better than us, obviously on the global stage as far as in the eyes of everybody. But you know, we're America, right? Our goal is to pretty much the moment we start giving a fuck, we want to beat your ass, we want to show up and do things. And Friday after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, we play England. And I think that has a really huge chance to be like the most watched U.S. soccer game ever, because motherfuckers are going to all be off and we're going to play England and we're going to be drunker than shit.
Damn, that's going to be incredible.
And so you need to watch that one. And we need to figure out a way to try to like do some sort of live reaction to that.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
That's going to be amazing. That's going to be a great game.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Okay. Okay, well, that's great news. I'm excited to see that. I think let's move right along. We got a couple more things to chat about, or at least one in particular that I know we want to get into was Mr. Cinnamon himself, Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah,
you know, like
it's great. It's crazy because the way boxing, you know, one of the problems that it's had in recent past, actually, is like, you know, not really getting as many great fights. You get a couple of dope ones, and you know, enough to kind of keep you going. But still, like, not enough, right? But it seems like this year's been, it's only June and tomorrow, and we're having great fights. We're having a lot more fights than that we, you know, the kind of fights we want to see. So, you know, we haven't recorded in a while, so obviously we're not as current as we want to be. So it almost seems like the Canelo fight's a long-ass fucking time ago. But it was crazy. It was a big event. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm not a fan of his, but he stepped up. Fought Bivol, the champion at 168, one of the champions at 168. I don't know how you want to slice it. There's two champions that are considered, I think, most people at 1 and 2. And I think Bivol could have, again, taken either spot. My opinion, I think I was in favor with the other people and maybe putting him number 2 behind Brandon. And it's going to be funny because kind of full circle. You might not know, but just because of I'm about to make this pronunciation, and just because of every, you know, this is like original. What was that? Maybe 2016 when we started this thing. You remember I was going over a fights of Arthur
Beterbiev. You going to Beterbiev?
Beterbiev. And I was like, you were like, is it Beterbiev? I told you, remember, I was like, I'm pretty sure it's Beterbiev, right? So Beterbiev. He's clearly like the big, to me, in my opinion, he was like the motherfucker in 168. So I guess if you felt like if Canelo won that fight, you probably should have seen him next to see who the real guy is at 168. Now, Beterbiev, he's fighting Joe Smith, who's American. You know what I mean? Who's another champion. He's a dope-ass motherfucker in my eyes. So he, you know, I think obviously I'm rooting for Joe Smith, but fuck, Beterbiev. You know, it's been fucking 6 years and I haven't really learned the right pronunciation. That would be a dope fight. It's going to be a dope fight. I'm going to be rooting for Smith, but I do think, you know, especially the Vegas odds have Beterbiev winning that fight. So if we get a chance to see Bivol against Beterbiev, that's kind of a fight I think a lot of us really want to see. I know I still haven't really gone as far as was the main topic as far as the Canelo angle. But that's who he was fighting. The reason I went on, you know, that's basically, I just wanted to go into and kind of explain who was the guy he was fighting. Dude, Canelo got beat. And I think clearly, in my opinion, I don't want to get crazy and say anything, you know, too much, but he just got beat clearly. It was just a clear, you know, defeat. And I'm not going to, like, since I'm not a fan, I don't have to be these fans or like, well, he gets all the credit in the world for stepping up. The fact that he stepped up is good enough in my eyes. No, fuck that. He stepped up and he took the L. But it was, you know, again, he wasn't fighting no bum. So I'm also not going to be a guy that has to exaggerate it just to be happy with the result. But I think, you know, the old cliches, all of those apply, you know, weight classes matter. This fool was clearly able to stand there and take whatever Canelo was going to bring to him, and it wasn't going to matter. He was the bigger man. He wasn't feeling phased. Like he said, if he showed at the end of this fight, his fucking shoulder was bruised in a motherfucker with all the blocking he was doing with the shoulder, everything Canelo was taking. And, you know, he was able to land the clear, stronger shots. And I think Canelo could have probably made the fight a little closer. And just because of the way the refs could work, I think if he got a little bit more defensive, he couldn't have, like, in my opinion, not necessarily won the round, but made it close enough that we can get those rounds. Mm-hmm. But since I don't like him, I will say that I am giving him huge props on this part of it, where I do think that it was a clearer loss, because I do think he did actually open up and kind of go for the dub. You get what I mean? Like, I think, again, I'm not a fan of his, but I do want to give him props on the fact that I think, again, if he got more defensive and kind of just kind of trying to make it look a little closer, he could have won a couple more eyes, but I think more rounds, or maybe at least one more round. But I think he was saying, no, I think I'm losing these rounds and I kind of got to go for it. And that was kind of opening them up at the same time. Right. And Bivol looked fucking good. So I don't want to make it just about what Canelo didn't do. He was fighting the bigger man, and that dude did his job. It's one of those things where you're like, and almost his reaction was the way you almost want it to be. Like, if you want to create the fucking boxer in your fucking head, right? It's like he was like, yeah, I mean, it kind of like, kind of the attitude was like, that was cool, and I'll be like, I should have done that, you know what I mean? I told right. You fools, I'm fighting this smaller dude, I'm gonna fuck him up. But I mean, you fools are hyping up, it's all good. I believe why you guys believe what you believe, but I know what I know,
right?
I'm beat that fool, and if we fight again, I'm gonna beat him again. So to answer, as far as I don't know if you mentioned it, the what's next for Canelo is
no, I haven't.
He had a rematch clause, so he could have chosen to fight to pretty much get a direct rematch with Bivol.
But we chose not to. Yeah.
But he chose not to. He decided to take the third fight with Triple G, which, you know, again, I'm not a fan at all, but I almost don't fault the guy to just fall back, take, and at this point, he's gonna beat the shit out of Golovkin's eyes, in my opinion.
Yeah, Golovkin's chance is past. I think
he's over 40. He's gonna go down there, beat the shit out of him real quick.
That'll be a shocking loss if Canelo loses to.
And if that happens,
yeah, Yeah, that's going to be, a devastating loss in his career.
Look, you don't want to count another man's pockets, and you also don't want to go ahead and count him out, right? Like, decide when he should be done.
Right.
But look at it as far as I'm like, if there's a way to go out, it's never a pretty one, right? If you were to lose to Triple G, getting a huge, large fucking sum of money, I think that's one of the best ways to figure out that you don't have it, because you're getting paid hefty. And again, if you're losing a Triple G and you're now taking back-to-back L's, you're probably in a position that you didn't realize you were in, and you're probably a shitload closer to being done than you thought you were. But it's a good wake-up call, because it also comes with, again, fucking boatloads of money. So it's not that bad, right? But yeah, he should. But in my opinion, he's not there. Even if he's fallen or taken a step back, whatever you want to look at it, which I don't. He still is a step ahead of Golovkin at this point. So
clear.
If he took one step back, Golovkin has taken two steps back. In my opinion. So
and maybe he's sitting. Maybe Golovkin's sitting down.
Yeah, he's in a rocking chair. And said, "Don't wake me till Canelo calls." Right?
That's exactly. Kind of where he's been at. Pretty much, yeah. And it's not like he's in a back to chamber like he's in fucking Star Wars. He's literally just sitting down, like in like wherever the hell he is.
Yeah, but that was Canelo, and it shocked a lot of people, right? Like he's a polarizing figure. There's fucking huge fans of his, and there's huge haters. I guess I would fall on the hater side of it. Not even I guess I clearly do, right? So, those kind of moves, those kind of fights, those kind of losses, those kind of duds or whatever. They moved the needle. So like you said, it's been a minute. The fight happened a long time ago. But I think the only thing that a guy like Canelo that's a brand, all he can do is do what he did now and just kind of announce your next fight as quickly as you can. Kind of start having people stop talking about your L and kind of
move exactly. on. Moving on.
What you're doing next.
It's already election season for the boxers.
Let's go, dog. Let's keep it pushing. But so that's what happened. And then last week, Tank Davis.
Hell yeah.
He destroyed Rolly Romero. These are two Mayweather promoted fighters. So, when the guys have the same promoters, those are the easier fights to make, right? Rolly's a guy that, I don't know. Showman talks a lot of shit, can sell a pay-per-view, which he did. You know what I mean? But I don't want to take nothing from Tank, because even though I didn't think Tank had a chance to lose the fight. I saw enough people fucking falling for all that shit and saying, this fool has a chance to go ahead and crack Tank, do this, do that. And Tank did his thing. He knocked him the fuck out. So that's the one thing that I think fans forget. It's like, we're never happy, right? Like, look, I'll tell you, I guess I can fall in some of the fans that are like, yo, he needs to fight more, better competition. But I do think he's done his fucking thing. He's earned respect in the game. I think he's a top elite athlete, and that's hard to fucking miss. And it's evident not only because the problem with him is he's so polarizing that a lot of his fans also almost don't talk about his boxing as much, mainly just focus on the fact that he's selling venues out, he's super popular, and he's killing it in the, which all of that matters. So I'm not saying that they're wrong for it. I'm saying on my side of it, I just like the fact that he's fucking fools up. So the fact that he, whether you want, I said I don't have to overhype Rolly, but I do hype the fact that he knocked him the fuck out. So.
Right. All right. We got about like 30 seconds. I don't want you to get cut off. And that always is the worst way to end an episode.
Yeah. So this coming weekend, we got Cambrosos and we got Devin Haney, unified fight, unified, undisputed. The man. Cambosis is the guy that fucking took the belt from Teofimo Lopez. Teofimo Lopez took it from him.